The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. Hope you're having a great Sunday morning. We are just after Labor Day, aren't we? It is past. The kids are back in school. It is back to business. All that vacation time that you were hoping to have over the summer, it's over now. It's now time to start preparing for Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. All those holidays are coming up soon. But as we get into the serious part of what's going on in the world, I mean, people are back to work, vacations are over, and, you know, the markets have been up and down and up and down over the past July and August. You never know what direction it was going to go in. Well, that's because a lot of times people aren't all working. I mean, there's people on vacations. You never know what's going to happen. But so we bring in the expert back into the studio to talk about what's going on for the last third of the year, September, October, November, and December. Where will we go? What's going to happen? What has happened? Why has the markets been jumping around like they have? What's going on in the economy? What's the guaranteed return for the year? All of those answers are going to be provided by you, Marion, right? Marion Gilman, my business partner, is in studio with me today to provide answers to everything, and I promise there will be no guarantees. None at all. Marion just offers the best wisdom that she can have to offer. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you, Mark?
You never know what I'm going to say.
What an intro. Where did that come from?
But I don't know.
We guarantee, sure. Yikes.
We're not guaranteeing
never.
Anything.
Right.
But we have had a very interesting first start to the year. Well, we actually go back almost a year and think back to the fourth quarter. We had a tough fourth quarter last year.
We certainly did, particularly the month of December.
Yeah, and then January, February, March picked right back up, went the other direction.
Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of volatility, which was a little bit surprising since we, well, not unexpected, but surprised many people because we had had such a calm market for so many years prior to that. So we had gotten used to that uneventful market just going up all the time. Last year, we saw a little bit a different side of the market as we did this summer. So that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, I mean,
back to normal.
We've been talking about this for a while. We said
absolutely.
It just can't go in one direction all the time,
it
right?
It certainly can't. Small pullbacks are very healthy and expected.
So you just think this is a small pullback that we've been seeing recently?
I do. How about you?
Oh, she's going to throw it back to me. Wow.
Well,
that was unexpected.
I do. Let's get your opinion, too.
All right. Well, you know, we've been talking with our clients, and we've been talking here on the radio for the longest time that pullbacks are normal. They're expected. And most of the movements that we've seen in the markets lately have been issues that are impacting us, impacting the world outside of the United States.
Yeah, it's external factors.
Yeah. And, right. I mean, There's plenty of good things that are going on here in the country, isn't there?
Most definitely. And the reason we think this is a normal course of action and a temporary pullbacks is because there are a lot of very good things going on in our economy. I mean, look around. The unemployment rate is at historic lows. It's unbelievable. If you want a job, there are jobs out there.
In fact, I think there's more jobs out there than there are people looking for jobs.
That's the last statistic I heard as well. Yeah, absolutely. So there are lots of jobs out there. People are employed. actually the hourly wage rate has started to go up as well, and that's great news.
That hadn't moved in a long time,
right? It really hadn't. It had been very stagnant. So once the hourly wage rate begins to move, what that implies is that companies are having a little bit harder time finding people, and they're paying them a little bit more to get good people or for the people they have to stay. So that's all a good thing. Consumer spending has been fantastic this year. So the consumer spending represents 68% of our economy. So realistically, if the consumer isn't spending, that's when you see the economy turn down. So this is not to say everybody should race out and stop buying more things, but I'm sure everyone's had a little bit of that during doing their back to school shopping.
Yeah. But, you know, that's just normal. I mean, we're spending at a rate far faster than what we've ever spent at before.
Absolutely.
When we sit down with our clients, I mean, one of the big questions that we're always asking them is, what do you think you spend on a month-to-month basis? And they're often surprised, aren't they?
They're shocked in many cases. And that's because, you know, some people look at some of their base expenses, and that's all they take into consideration. They think, oh, well, this is what I pay for the mortgage. This is what I pay for food. They forget about all of those
Starbucks
little
visits.
Things, Starbucks visits, clothes they might buy, you know, haircuts, whatever it might be. You forget about all those little things. And also, then what if you're traveling?
Yeah, I think some of the things that people forget about oftentimes is the commitments that we've made to monthly online purchases, whether it's your Netflix account, your Hulu account, your all the stuff that we pay, our phone bill, all these things that
it's
we have paid.
It's all automatic.
Right, it's all automatic. We have it come out of our phone or out of our device. We don't think about writing a check. We don't think about handing a credit card or laying out cash. It's just automatically coming out of our accounts.
Yeah.
And that is becoming cumulative.
That's exactly right, because the more services you have, the more stuff that gets pulled out of your account. What's really bad about that is we do see clients and you know, others, friends, relatives, whatever, who lose track of what they're actually paying for each month.
Oh, absolutely.
And so they, you know, they might have a Hulu account that they haven't used in years, but it just keeps coming out of their account and they don't think to cancel it. Sort of like the gym, right?
The gym membership. I was thinking the same thing.
Who, you know, people sign up for the gym memberships, particularly in January. They go for a month or two. They don't use it anymore, but they keep paying it because
you know
it's
why
automatic.
And you know why they don't stop paying it? Because it's too inconvenient.
Yeah, exactly.
And I want to make the
work.
Call. I got to call somebody. I got to find the phone number. For another $10, I'll just keep paying it.
And, you know, it's all small little amounts of money, but they add up.
It does. And
particularly over time.
That's right. And that's one person. But you multiply that times 300 million Americans, and that's a big number. And I think that is contributing to this this consumer spending is all of the money that we're laying out that we don't even think about.
Oh, most definitely. I would totally agree.
The other thing that I find that people are spending money on is something that generations before never thought about spending money on, and that's the cost of convenience. You know, a lot of people are willing to pay service fees. A lot of people are willing to look at it this way. I mean, I think I've told the story many times about how I'll go into a high school and I'll put three bottles of water in front of the kids. And I'll say, this first bottle of water, which is three Dasani waters, one is 13 cents, another is $1.99, and another is $4.50. Why is that? And, you know, we explain the difference between why. One was that 24 case you just bought at Stop and Shop. One you pick up at Dunkin' Donuts and another at Fenway Park. People don't think twice about paying an extraordinary amount for convenience.
That's so true. And, you know, parents, grandparents, they didn't do that. I mean, they would bring their own waters. They would, you know, you didn't buy. If it was too expensive, you didn't get it.
Right.
Well, at least in my family, if it was too expensive, we didn't get it. We waited.
Right. When's the last time you packed a picnic rather than went out and bought stuff at the store to go and brought it with you for a picnic, even if you picnic at all?
That's absolutely right. But, you know, the same, I mean, that Starbucks falls into that category as well. You know, people used to make coffee at home in the morning, and now not everyone, but a lot of people stop at Starbucks. It's just easier.
Right.
You know, it's right along the way. They don't have to wash a coffee cup or a coffee pot or even put it in the dishwasher.
Right.
So,
and now with
good
apps that they have,
Easy.
You can order it. You walk in, walk out. You don't even have to talk to anybody.
Yeah, they make it
too
easy.
You just walk in, walk out. It's all done. It is really, it's been made too easy. But you know what? We've come to expect this level of convenience, whether it's service charges for tickets that we think nothing of. I've always been amazed at the number of people who buy tickets to concerts, events, ball games, whatever, and they buy it through the StubHubs, and they buy it through the Ace Tickets and all these other places, and they're paying a premium price on top of the face value and paying a service charge on top of that. And
instead they think nothing of it. Instead of going to the location and...
Yeah, just go to the box office and buying your ticket.
Yeah, well, you know, convenience.
It's about convenience. And that is the world
we've
come
into. Everyone's
busy. Right.
And they want more time with the family. And people spend their money differently now, though. You know, things we used to spend money on, we don't anymore. You know, so things have changed. And people spend more money on experiences now than things. So they would rather pay for a dinner out where they can sit with their family and talk rather than spend a lot of time, preparing dinner, serving dinner, and then cleaning up where they have to be away from their kids.
The world of conveniences, I mean, and sure. I'll ask you, Mary, do you think, 10 years from now, are we likely to work in to look forward to a less convenient environment or even more convenient environment?
Oh, my guess is it's going in the direction of more convenience. Although you do have those rebels who want to live off the land as well and go back to nature and go back to doing everything by hand.
There will be those, but as long as people are seeking convenience, they're going to pay for it, and the consumer is going to spend more money, and that's going to continue to drive this economy.
Until we have a downturn and then everybody relooks at their bills, right?
That's true.
And we don't see that coming anytime soon, but that's okay.
but we do see a few things coming and a few things that we want to be thinking about as you begin preparing for the next 4 months, the next couple of years ahead. Marion's got all sorts of statistics. We've got some stuff to share with regards to what's been going on in the markets, what we're seeing coming up in the markets ahead, and we want to share all of that with you when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning. That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman, and I'm joined by my co-host today, Marion Gilman, my business partner, who's been with me, 19 years, Marion?
We've worked together for 19 years, Mark. Can you believe it?
Long time.
And we haven't killed each other yet.
We haven't.
Could happen, but not yet.
Could happen today in this studio. You never know. I got to watch my back wherever I go.
But you and me both.
Well, Marion brings the brilliance to the show today. Because sometimes we just talk about nonsense and nothing, but today she's going to hold me to it and make sure I actually talk about stuff that has substance to it, right?
Yes, something to do with financial planning. That is what we do in our office, right?
That is. We do financial planning. We manage money for people. And a lot of folks are oftentimes asking about stuff that's going on in the markets. What's topical? Fortunately, they're not calling us for, what do you think of this stock? Or should I buy this or get out of this? And
that's a losing battle.
Why is that, Marion? Maybe you can share your thoughts, because I do this all the time on the show. Why is it that we discourage our clients from buying individual stocks and instead purchase mutual funds or index funds or exchange-traded funds?
Well, I think one of the primary reasons is diversity, because you know, in order to really move your portfolio with an individual stock, you need to have a range of individual stocks if you're buying stocks, because you want exposure to large companies, small companies, mid-sized companies, companies that pay dividends, companies that are growth-oriented, energy companies, banks. I mean, you need so much exposure and so many stocks. So what are you going to do? Are you going to follow each and every one of those stocks? Well, that's fine if you have the time to do that and want to do that. But you also should remember and should know that these mutual fund companies that purchase a portfolio of stocks, they have analysts whose job, entire job, is to follow maybe 5 companies or 10 companies. They know everything about that industry. They know everything about those companies. They've met with management. They have such great insight. So, you know, Mark and I don't feel like we have that ability to do that for the number of stocks we would need to put into a portfolio to generate the right amount of diversity for our clients. We leave it to the experts.
Yeah, I don't see how people, even those that call themselves stockbrokers, if you want to be a stockbroker, that's fine. You pick stocks all day long. But if you're a stockbroker that also wants to be a financial advisor, I don't know how you have the time for that.
No, it's well, and to think that you would have more information than these people who that's their full job, nothing else but following a minimal number of companies.
So you're saying that the advice we might get from Cramer versus the advice I might get from an analyst who is considering buying, let's say, 10 million shares of Google, as opposed
they also
to you or I want to buy 10.
Better, yeah, they also get better execution, by the way, when you're buying 10 million shares versus
what do you mean by execution?
10 shares. When you go to trade those stocks, you can trade them a lot cheaper if you're buying 10 million and then if you're buying 10.
That is financial advice in a language you can understand.
That's exactly
when
right.
You buy in bulk, you get to buy things cheaper.
Right.
I think we all understand that. That's where we go to Costco sometimes, right?
That's right.
Same idea.
That's the concept.
So yeah. Another thing that's been kind of interesting that people have talked about is the fact, you know, bonds have become back in the point of discussion again, because a year or so ago, everybody thought interest rates were going to keep climbing back up.
Interest rates did go up last year.
They did.
Until the end of the year.
And then what happened, Mary?
And then things turned around and interest rates started to decline. So what we saw this year, we saw a phenomenon where interest rates started to go down. So they, you know, the interest rates on the 10-year bond, because a 10-year treasury bond is sort of a benchmark in the market. So last year, the interest rates on a 10-year treasury bond got just over 3%. Still very, very low by historical standards. And after December, when the market started to decline, things didn't look so great in the economy. People were concerned at the end of December when the market had really gone down. What happened was interest rates started to decline because people figured, well, you know what? The market doesn't look so great anymore. So this year we've seen a decline in interest rates, particularly the Federal Reserve started talking about potentially not raising interest rates anymore as they had last year. And then they started talking about maybe potentially lowering interest rates, which they actually did in July. So we saw an acceleration of that where interest rates went down. And now the 10-year treasury bond, just as an, you know, as a point of reference, is under 2%, the interest rate on that. That's a big movement. I know it doesn't sound like a big movement, but from over 3% to under 2% is a huge movement in the bond market.
Yeah, that's an almost 40% drop.
Exactly.
Think about that. If you,
in
you
interest
know,
rates.
Take from 3 to
that's
2
right.
is 33%, right?
Sure.
So a little bit, if it's over 3 and under 2,
right.
That's almost a 40% drop.
Right.
Now, I think what's kind of interesting, and maybe if we can talk about this kind of in a language our listeners can understand, when I'm hearing you say, well, interest rates went down, and I think one of the reasons, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, this is how I'm thinking, one of the reasons that interest rates go down is that when people don't have confidence in the stock market, people yeah. say, I'm looking for a place where I can get some guarantee on my money. And if the demand for guarantee on my money is in bonds, whether it's treasuries and other bonds, the issuers, people that are issuing bonds, say, well, why should we pay as much interest if there's a greater demand for it? Let's pay them less interest. Let's pay them a lower amount.
Right.
Am I thinking properly there?
Sure, absolutely. You're absolutely right that when people don't have that much confidence, they don't want to, you know, they do take their money out of stocks and bonds, longer bonds, so they do that. The other thing in the corporations as well, if they don't have confidence, they stop issuing bonds because they don't have, remember, corporations issue bonds so that they can invest in a new project. And they invest in new projects when they think the economy is going to grow rapidly. If they don't see the economy growing rapidly, they're not going to invest in a new project because they feel like, well, who's going to buy this, right?
Right. And they also have the money to pay interest to the people that have lent them money on the bonds.
That's exactly right. So it's sort of a vicious circle. It's, you know, it's a circular thing where one thing feeds upon the other. So we did see in December when stock prices went way down, the consumer got nervous. That happens routinely, you know, when you see a big drop in the market, and they stopped, you know, they started pulling their money out of stocks and putting them in money market funds. And so probably many of the listeners have heard also are seeing in their bank accounts or in money market accounts, those interest rates have also gone down.
They've had to.
Yeah. So last year you were getting over 2% at the beginning of this year, I should say. And now things have dropped.
Yeah. It's a big change. I mean, we used to track every month, actually, we put together a report in the office of what area money market rates, CD rates are on the area banks here in our community, as well as some of the online offerings. And what we saw was interest rates going up towards the end of last year. And all of a sudden, those that were getting, you know, some of these banks in the area were offering over 2% on their money market funds.
Right.
And now it's nowhere close to that. And people said, well, I was guaranteed on that. I thought I was. No, you were guaranteed for that month.
Right.
That is not a CD. You are guaranteed for that month. The banks can change those numbers all the time.
And those do change all the time. Yeah. So, yeah, all good. I mean, it's not a bad thing that interest rates have gone down. And it's particularly a great thing for the housing market.
Yeah, it's fascinating. We have a report that we get from this company called J.P. Morgan. You've heard of them. So J.P. Morgan's a big company, and they share with us a report. It's called A Guide to the Markets. They share it every month with us. And I find it fascinating that when they put together this report, it's on page 61 if you have it in front of you. No, I know you don't. But it's a fund flow report that talks about where did investors send their money in 2018 and year to date. Have they been more apt to put their money into banks? Have they been more apt to put their money into stocks, into bonds? Where has been the trend? And interestingly, this year to date, there has been a negative fund flow of money going into U.S. stocks. So people are putting less money into U.S. stocks. They have been putting more money than normal into world equity, into international stocks. There's been a push there. So let me just walk that through the last part. But the amount of money that has gone into bonds over the past year has grown over 100% from where it was last year. It's enormous. But people are putting money into bonds this year where interest rates are going down. People are taking money out of stocks when stocks are cheaper. But some are saying, maybe I want to invest internationally. That's on the positive side. So what I think is fascinating is that this is the national number. This is what institutions are doing as well as individuals. But from an individual standpoint, do you think individuals are building up their positions in international securities these days, Marion?
I think individuals are nervous about international securities.
I do too.
I would say no.
Right, which is
because now we there's the Brexit issue, there's the China tariff issue. So there are a variety of issues internationally which scare people.
That's true. And on top of that, from a stock standpoint, in 2015, 16, 18, and year to date, investors were taking more money out of stocks than putting money into stocks. Yet in all of those years, the markets were going up.
Well, so there's a rationale to that. And help us understand that. And we use that in our office, correct? So when we set up portfolios in our office, we always target a certain amount in stocks and a certain amount in bonds, because bonds are the sort of the safety measure and the stocks are for growth. Well, if stocks just keep going up and up and up, and we wanted to have 60% in stock and 40% in bonds, if stocks just continue to grow and bonds stay relatively stable, now all of a sudden you got 65% in stock and only 35% in bonds. You haven't done a thing, but it's only because the stocks have grown. So now a rational investor takes some money out of the stock side, takes that 5% out, puts it over to the bond side, because that's how you rebalance a portfolio,
So that's how you're trying to rationalize the negative fund flows. That's interesting.
No, that's probably not why that happened. But
in our office, I think that's a great example of how that works.
That's an example of why it should be happening. Typically, why it happens is people get nervous and they say, oh my goodness, you know, the market's hit an all-time high. I need to get my money out, because they don't know that was an all-time high today. Tomorrow it's going to hit another all-time high. And maybe 2 months down the road, it's going to hit another all-time high. Nobody knows what the high point is. But we've had 10 years of growth in the market and upward momentum in the market.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. So we've had 10 years of growth, yet we have a day where the market's down 800 points. And and people ask, oh my goodness, Mark, you must be flooded with calls. How was our phone ringing on those days, Marion?
Not so much.
No, we are very fortunate. I think you've done a great job. I think our entire office has done a great job in managing the expectations of our clients.
And that's what, you know, you have to manage the expectations, because down days are normal. We expect them and we welcome them.
Yeah, I mean, that is to be expected, and we're likely to see more of them probably throughout this year. And I can guarantee you we'll have down days this year. That's the only guarantee I can promise. Right. We're going to have down days this year, right, next year, the year after that, and probably for my lifetime. We will have down days.
We will. We'll probably have up days too.
Yes, we'll probably have up days too. But, you know, you really have to start thinking about, am I investing for the short term? Am I investing for the long term? If you're investing for the long term, let's say 3 to 5 years or longer,
makes no difference.
Not at all.
Just ignore it.
But some people say to us, well, I want to dip my toe in. I want a dollar cost average into the approach, into this investment. And it's a strategy that we will employ more than anything else to just cope with the emotions that a client might have in volatile times. So we can talk about that. We're talking a lot of things about the market today. I'm joined here by my business partner, Marion Gilman. She's been with me for 19 years. Marion is the, I don't know, what's your title today, Marion?
I forget. She
can be.
I think I'm the executive vice president.
There you go. Executive vice president of our conglomerate that sits in Peabody, Massachusetts.
Sounds good, though.
Yeah, it does sound good. All right. Well, we have lots more to share about the economy, about the markets, about your portfolio, where we're going, what's happening, what has happened, this and a lot more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from that giant dirt lot called the North Shore Mall.
Hey, I saw one of those Lifetime Fitness buildings this weekend.
Where did you see it?
In Pennsylvania.
Oh, really?
Oh,
was it nice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's enormous. I was shocked when I saw it. It's huge.
So the voice you're hearing here on the radio, for those of you just joining us, this is Marion Gilman, my
Hi
business
there.
Partner. Yeah, we were talking about where we're located, but across the street, we do call the giant dirt lot. There's a big Lifetime Fitness going
That's
there,
what
right?
it is right now. It's in where they tore down Sears.
Mm-hmm.
All of you from the North Shore remember Sears. They tore it down. They're going to build a Lifetime Fitness. And I had not seen one of the buildings, but I did see one over the weekend, and it is enormous. I wonder if that's what they're putting in across
the
Well,
it is a Lifetime Fitness. Yeah. I've been told that the place is going to be massive.
Yeah.
With there's an indoor pool, an outdoor pool. I don't know if anything else besides the pool. I assume there's more to it than just the pool.
We'll overlook the pool, right?
We'll overlook the pool.
That's awesome.
Wow. I hope they're all dressed. Yeah, we will be overlooking the pool. We'll set
that
up a
could
stage
be dangerous
up.
In the summer.
We'll get our binoculars out, the whole thing, right? So, now, I think they're a good enough distance away. And we've been trying to get Mark Whiting, who is the general manager at the North Shore Mall, on this show. I've met with Mark a few times over at the mall because he fills me in on what's going on over there, the new stores, the new event complex, or entertainment complex that's going to be there, the fitness facility, all these things that are coming. But I wanted to tell the story here on the radio to our listeners, and he says he's going to do it. I
Very
just
got
to nail him down for a time. He's a tough guy to connect up with because, man, he must work 100 hours a week. He is going all the time. He really is. Anyways, my name is Mark Friedman. Like I said, president and CEO of Friedman Financial, here with my business partner, Marion Gilman, today, where we're giving you some financial advice in a language you can understand. The markets have been volatile. And when I say volatile, it just means they've been bouncing. No one's lost their shirt. No one is like, oh my God, I lost all my money in the stock market.
But if you read the news, you might think you've lost
Absolutely.
Your shirt. Absolutely. Because the stock market plummeted one day.
And it soared the next.
Yep.
So what's really interesting is we'll be talking to folks that go, oh, it must be a tough time in the market right now. Well, the truth of the matter is most portfolios year to date are up.
Yeah.
They're up nicely, actually, through eight months?
Yep.
Through 8 months of the year, through two-thirds of the year?
Good returns. Very good returns.
However, if you look on a 12-month basis...
Not so good.
Doesn't look great at all. Maybe you could help our listeners understand why that is the case, Marion.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. You know, when you look at 1 year, so September 1st from 2018 to September 1st of 2019... The stock market has not really done all that well. I mean, it's pretty flat, quite honestly. All measures of the stock market, of the large company stocks, are pretty flat. So the S&P 500, which measures the 500 largest stocks in the U.S., it's up maybe 1%. When we look at small company stocks, though, small company stocks have really, really struggled over the past year. So since last year, they've declined by about 12%, which is really surprising. International stocks are also down a little bit over the one-year horizon. And that's because from last September through December, the stock market went down. We saw declines. And actually, interest rates were going up, so bonds also declined towards the end of last year. Because when interest rates go up, bond prices go down. That's just a natural phenomenon that happens. They have an inverse relationship. So when we looked at returns at the end of 2018, if you looked at your portfolio, many people were down for the year. Not significantly, but we saw a significant decline in the month of December. It was really a terrible month in the market. What happened, though, and so this is why we always tell people, Take it with a grain of salt. Don't look at your portfolio every day. Don't measure what's going to happen by what happens in a particular week, month, day, whatever that might be. Because as of January 1st, the market turned around and all the stocks started to go up. And they actually had a fabulous first quarter. The stock market had a fabulous first quarter. Interest rates went down, so bond prices went up. And bonds had a good first quarter, too. So everything turned around and did great.
And if you had just slept for 6 months...
and not done anything...
you would have been just fine.
You would have been fine.
And, you know, it's interesting. I got a call yesterday from a gentleman who has listened to the radio show. He knows a little bit about the firm. And his question to me was... he's looking to change financial advisors. And he says to me, can you tell me how you guys did in 2008 and 2009? And I thought that, I said, that's kind of an interesting question. Why are you asking that today? And he was curious because he's feeling that, well, the market is rather volatile. If the market goes down like it did in 2008 and 2009, might I be able to give him some history of how we reacted back then to what we would do today? And I think you'd agree, Marion. I mean, the conditions that we're lining up for the next 12 months or so look nothing like what the conditions looked like heading into 08 and 09.
Not at all.
And
no, not at all.
And the thought of markets correcting like they did back then 10 years ago, I mean, I think we will see corrections in the market. We might even have a bear market, which is 20%.
Very normal.
But are we going to have what we had in 08 and 09?
That's not what we foresee at all. And most analysts don't foresee that either. The caveat to that, and most of those very severe declines happen from some external shock. It's not so much something internal to the stock market. But if we really did have, if we had a war, for instance, or... you know, and particularly, you know, there are all this issue with tariffs with China. And if that turned into a trade war and it was really a very prolonged, serious trade war, then you might see a more prolonged decline in the market. But it's not in China's interest, nor is it in the U.S. interest to see a prolonged trade war. So we don't foresee that happening. There could be, you know, might not get resolved right away, but we don't see a prolonged, very serious trade war.
So even when the market did have this shock to its system in 08 and 09, a lot of it had to do with the credit crisis and
correct.
And you know, lenders,
Lehman Brothers,
people lending
bankrupt.
Way more money than they should have to
exactly.
the average person.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of controls in that area now.
They have certainly placed a lot of controls.
So what did we do during that time? We got a lot of calls, right? We people asked a lot of questions.
Well, we certainly did. And one of the things that we've always done, we take a financial planning first approach always. So we look at what your goals are, how much money you need to meet those goals in both the short term and the long term horizon. And then we set up a rational investment solution designed to meet those goals. So if you have money that's going to be invested for a very long term horizon, you can withstand ups and downs in the market, and you can be more exposed to stocks. If you have money that you're going to need in a year, what we tell people that need money in a year to keep it in the bank.
Absolutely.
I mean, essentially, that's
earning nothing.
That's exactly right. But if you need income from your accounts, well, it's a very different investment philosophy. So we set up an asset allocation model where we provide monies in different investments designed to meet your financial goals. When a downturn comes along or when there are clouds on the horizon, we certainly tweak that, we rebalance it. But do we pull out? No. Because remember, I don't, you know, for those of you who were following the market back in 2008, 2009, the market hit a low in March of 2009. It turned around and started to go up. And if you weren't in there when it
during
turned
the last
around,
few weeks of March, you were done.
You know, that it gained enormously during those last few weeks of March.
Right.
So it just took off once you, and that's the problem with pulling out of the market. You have to get back in, and you always miss that initial real bump up in prices.
But I think what's also interesting is in the last segment we talked about the difference between dollar cost averaging, if you had new money, dollar cost averaging in, or buying all at once. Even with this circumstance that you're talking about, the world that we lived in, would it have made sense? I mean, who would have known what was coming? But right. Over the long term, taking a dollar cost averaging approach versus a single lump sum approach, over 10 years, is anybody going to remember?
You know, there have been a lot of studies on that, and it really doesn't make much difference. But then again, you know, were you young and dollar cost averaging into the market back then, all the way down, it probably would have been better than if you had stuck it all in October of 2008. But you know what? Who knows? I mean,
yeah,
much better would it have been?
For people that are putting money into their accounts on a week-to-week, month-to-month basis, maybe you're contributing to your 401k plan,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff, you should be, believe it or not, for the next 5 or 10 years, beg for the market to go down.
Hope for it, yeah.
Because that is going to serve you well, because when the market does turn around, and it will turn around, and don't think that I'm suggesting that the market's going to be down for 10 years or anything like that, but when the markets go down, you're buying more shares.
Right.
And having more shares is a lot more valuable when the markets start to go up. You can really start to, you know, build on some compounding of that interest, compounding of the money that you have and the shares that you have. It's really tremendous what you can make.
Most definitely. So, you know, for young people who are, they should welcome those opportunities to continue to invest.
You know, what's also been interesting, Marion, in the markets this year is that the markets have really been led by not just large company stocks, but mostly growth stocks.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the dividend paying stocks, large value stocks tend to be companies like the banks,
utility companies,
companies that pay very high dividends, you know, Raytheon, Procter & Gamble, those kind of companies. Those companies, they are more stable companies, and typically growth companies do grow faster because they're reinvesting all of their money into build up the company.
But they're probably subject to more risk, too, because if they don't hit it, they're dead.
Most definitely. So you see a lot more volatility in growth companies than you do in value companies. But once again, I mean, we've seen a lot of years where growth companies, and particularly a few growth companies like Apple and Amazon and Facebook, those are the companies that, you know, outperform dramatically and actually move the market. And they represent a lot of what happens in the market. So a lot of the growth that occurs can be just through some technology companies. On the way down, the same is true. So if you don't like that roller coaster ride, you know, you minimize your exposure to those kind of companies.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that when we look at the difference between year to date, if you break down all the various sectors that we have in the S&P 500, and those sectors can be materials and financials and technology and all these others that are out there, the companies that are really leading this initiative year to date are technology companies, consumer discretionary companies, and believe it or not, real estate.
Well, real estate, because interest rates have gone down. So once interest rates go down, that bodes very, very well for the real estate market.
That's right.
But, and real estate companies are also highly dependent on borrowed money. So, you know, now they can borrow at lower rates again. So that they can build their interest rates for borrowing are lower, so they make more profit.
But what's interesting is the sectors that have not done well so far this year. Energy's done lousy. I mean, it's up a little bit year to date, but it's still done lousy.
Right.
And the other one that I think will surprise a lot of people that has not done well is healthcare. You know, people think of the money that is being put behind medicines and healthcare and whatnot. It's up 5.8% year to date. Now, in reality, 5.8% year to date through 8 months is not a bad number at all. I mean,
right.
I'll take that.
Right.
But when you're competing against technology companies that are up on average 30%, and I'm using, by the way, just so you know where my data is coming from, I'm using the Guide to the Markets that was issued by J.P. Morgan Asset Management as of August 31st, 2019.
Well, part of that healthcare might be just a lot of talk about changes to the healthcare system, the Medicare for All, things like that. So.
Yeah, it's
it could be that they're a little concerned about what's going to happen.
So lots of questions, lots of uncertainty. The one thing to be certain of as you begin planning your investment portfolio is trying to chase what you think is the best sector is a loser's bet. And even though asset allocation might not feel like I'm getting the returns that everyone says we're getting in the market, you might be getting a fraction of that. Over time, the S&P 500 will have its extreme highs and its extreme lows. And the person that is structured with a portfolio that has investments in a variety of different asset classes, different types of groupings, stands to perform better over the long term.
And that's happened in our office.
Absolutely.
When you look at long term, it's not the people who are all in stocks and all in fast-growing stocks that have performed the best.
And it's not just this year, but it's 53 years that we've been providing this type of advice to
Absolutely.
Clients.
Absolutely.
But we've got to take a quick break, Marion.
Oh.
I know you're having a good time talking about all the markets and all the numbers that are going on here. But we're going to give everybody a chance to grab a new cup of coffee. I'm going to get one myself. You can have one, too, if you want.
Thanks.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
North Shore Music Theater is proud to present Andrew Lloyd Webber's masterpiece, Sunset Boulevard.
I'm ready for my close-up.
Starring Tony Award winner Alice Ripley. Miss this haunting tale of the once famous movie star Norma Desmond as she attempts a bold return to the silver screen.
It's the pictures that got small.
Though her fame has faded, her ambition has not.
Everything's as if we never said goodbye.
Step into Norma's extravagant Hollywood fantasy as she attempts to seize the opportunity to restore her career to its former glory. Don't miss Sunset Boulevard, September 24th through October 6th. At Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater. For tickets, visit nsmt.org. Sponsored by Iron Tree Service.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm President and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts, right across the street from the North Shore Mall and just above Alto Forno Restaurant. I'm joined in studio today with my business partner, Marion Gilman. Marion, how are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
You've survived. This is our last and final segment of the day.
Oh, my goodness. It's amazing.
She has made it.
Wow.
Let me tell you, my life is a lot easier when I have someone to talk to here in the studio. So it's a delight.
So you're not
here
talking to yourself?
That's right. Usually when I'm here, I just stare at Jay, and Jay gives me these puzzled looks. He goes, Mark, what?
What are you saying?
That's right. So at least
we give you those looks in the office.
You
too,
do.
Sometimes.
But you keep me honest, and so that's good. Hey, I wanted to remind all of our listeners, for those that do listen to the show on a regular basis or would like this idea of financial advice in a language you can understand, we put out a free weekly newsletter. It's called Planning Pointers. It arrives in your mail, in your email box, every Friday at 10:30. There is no subscription fee, no cost whatsoever. All you just need to do is go to our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, to E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page, and you can put in your name, your email address, and it's also a place where you can put any type of comment you want. You want to send me a question, you want to send Marion a question, you want to let us know what you think about the radio show, you want to sign up for an initial consultation or even a request that we give you a call to talk about that. All of those things are possible. You can put any information you want in there, and I will promise you this. When you hit the send button, the only thing that will happen is you will get registered for our newsletter. You will not get a robocall from somebody saying, hey, saw that you signed up for Mark's newsletter this week. Would you like to come in for an initial consultation? No, that won't happen, will it, Marion?
I get too many of those robocalls.
Not from us, though, right? We don't send
never.
That. No. We have plenty of
we
business.
We would never do that.
We've always felt that clients that want to work with us, and we're always taking on new clients, but clients that want to work with us, first of all, understand a couple things. Number one, that we're going to do financial planning first. We're going to understand where everything is and what everything is worth. We're also going to help you manage money along the way. But number three, we're going to do this when you feel it's the right time to do it, not because you signed up for a newsletter, not because we just bought this list, and we're going to try to convince you that now is the right time.
It definitely requires a commitment from the client as well. So they have to be, as a client, you need to be ready to make that commitment because you have to provide a lot of information. We want to see everything that's going on in your financial life. If we don't know the reality of your situation, we can't do good work, and we certainly can't do something good for you. And we want to be sure we are serving your needs. So it's very important, you know, to have the commitment on both sides. So, and it's usually a time frame when people feel like, you know what, it's time to get serious. Now's the time I need to do some financial planning.
Yeah, it is a commitment at first, but yeah. I will tell you this, it's a commitment that once you make it, you can stop worrying a little bit.
Absolutely, and people are delighted. And a lot of people tell us just the idea of gathering together all the information to prepare the plan is an exercise and that has been enlightening for them.
It's probably the hardest part.
It's very, yeah, it's difficult, but you know what? It's all good.
So what are some of the things that we ask people to gather? Because we are different, Marion. We're not just a stockbroker or financial advisor that you walk in the door and say, hey, I've got $200,000 from my company's 401k plan. Can you help me roll it over? We're going to take a totally different approach, aren't we?
Right. As we said, you know, we look at what your goals are, what, you know, so let's say you come in and many of our clients come to us because they want to prepare for retirement at some point in time. So preparing for retirement doesn't mean only how much money do you have and how should I invest it? It's how much do you want to spend?
Mm-hmm.
And so to get those spending numbers, that can be, you know, we ask for three different things for us to look at. So we look at your tax return. We look at 6 months of bank statements, and we also look at pay stubs, and we get a good idea from those sources of information how much actually goes out of your household every month.
And people are oftentimes pretty surprised when we tell them what that number is.
They can be shocked when we tell them because they guess when they, you know, when you ask people how much do you spend, they make a guess. It's an educated guess, but they guess.
But there is no right or wrong answer either.
Absolutely not. It doesn't really matter. We don't care how much you spend. We don't care what you spend it on. It's just a matter of saying, well, if you want to continue your lifestyle once you retire, how do you have enough resources to provide that same income for, you know, to meet your living expenses over the rest of your life?
And what are some of the other things we ask for, Marion?
We also ask for insurance. I mean, do you have life insurance, disability insurance, homeowners insurance, auto insurance? We make sure you're protected. We look at estate planning documents to see how your estate is set up and make sure those are in place and everything's in place so that, you know, you're protecting your heirs as well. Of course, we look at investment statements and... goodness, what else?
Everything from tax returns to the deed to your house, everything.
Yeah.
Pay stubs, benefits booklets, all of that stuff that we look at.
Yeah.
You know, we had an interesting instance. We've seen this actually several times.
And debt, too.
Oh, yeah. Lots of, yeah. We have an instance where people are in their second or third marriage in many cases.
Yeah.
And let's say you've been married for a while and you both came to this marriage with children. And let's say you each had two children. And you've now written a new will. You've been together for a while, and your will says, you know, it's basically an I love you will. If I die, you get my money, and if you die, the other gets the money. However, I think we've talked about this in many instances with our listeners. If you have investments or assets that have a named beneficiary attached to them, what the will says doesn't matter.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, let's say you have an IRA account or a 401k plan where you said, well, when I die, I want my money to go to my husband. And if he predeceases me, I want it to go to my two children. Now, that's all well and good. But what if you died and forget about what the will says, you die, the money goes to your husband. Now the money has an IRA account. Now, does the husband name as his beneficiary? Does he name your two children or does he name his two children?
He can name whomever he wants.
That is exactly right. So one of the things that we do in our work is we really explore the beneficiary designations on all of the assets that you have so that you can make sure that it's very clear on how you want your assets divided upon your death. The will take care of the stuff that doesn't have any beneficiaries named. But if you do have assets that have beneficiaries named, that's another thing. We see other instances where someone named their first wife as beneficiary, and you may be on your third one. And the first wife's going to get the money if you don't fix that.
Need to be careful about that stuff.
So that's
why we look at life insurance, too, to make sure those beneficiary designations are
appropriate. It's very important. And so we gather all this information, Mary. We put it all together. Then what do we do with it?
So then we create a net worth statement. And again, that can be an eye-opening document for many people, because a net worth statement lists all of your assets, so everything you own, and also everything you owe. And then your net worth is the difference between what you own and what you owe. Now, if you're getting out of college and you have student debt and you haven't even really started working yet, that net worth could be negative. But by the time you get to be in your 50s or so, it's typically positive, sometimes highly positive, and people don't even recognize, they don't even realize what they've built up over the years. And they don't look at, it's rare that anyone looks at everything all in one place. So it's a great snapshot of a point in time as to what your net worth is.
Yeah, because it's really interesting that years, generations ago, many people had the asset that they had was their home at 39.9 or 49.9.
Yep.
They had a few thousand dollars in the bank, and that was about it, because their income, the other assets that they had in retirement was a pension and Social Security.
That's right, yeah.
And so your net worth was not all that meaningful. It didn't substantiate anything.
Right.
But today, people's homes
very different.
Can be worth as much, if not more, than the amount of money that they have in investments.
Right.
And many people think in retirement, well, I've got to live off the income from my investments. And they'll live off the
income. Not the principal.
I only want to touch the income. And then they die and they leave the investments plus the house to the kids. And they sacrifice their life in retirement in many cases.
And, that's their choice. Many people want to do that. But, in many cases, they may or may not have made the right decision, because we do see what the kids do with it, too. And sometimes the kids respect that. And the kids use it for good purpose. Other times, not so much.
But I think,
it goes quickly.
But I think it's also enlightening, because I think there's a lot of folks that don't realize how careful they are with the money that they have in investments, such that they have the income that they need, yet in doing so are leaving a lot of money untouched and passing it to the next generation. When they see that their children could inherit $3, $4, $5 million, whatever that number might be,
right,
and they're trying to figure out a way to live off of $60,000 a year, you got to find a balance there, because I think the biggest eye-opening event for clients, especially those that are in retirement or approaching retirement, is for them to realize that not only can they live retirement at the same spending level they were at before, but oftentimes they can spend even more.
That's so true, but it's a mindset problem.
It is.
It's very difficult to make that transition from getting a paycheck and saving money every month to spending, to taking money out of your savings or 401k, whatever it might be, and spending that.
Right. And it all comes down to getting all that information together, building that investment strategy that provides you with the income that you need so that you can have that peace of mind.
Once you see it laid out.
Oh, yeah. You feel so much better.
Absolutely.
So that's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. That's what Marion and I do in our office every single day. Perhaps now might be the time where you feel like, it's time to get serious about my personal finances. It's been fun for a while, but now it's time to get serious. If that's the case, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. You can leave a message on the machine. Nobody's there today. That's right. Jody will answer your call or check messages on Monday. If you'd like us to give you a call back, we will certainly do that. If you want to call us during regular business hours, please do so as well. There is no cost for a free initial consultation. However, we do encourage you to give the office a call so that we can talk you through it. Make sure that we are a good fit for you, so that you're a good fit for us, and that we're pointing you in the right direction to give you that financial advice that you need. That's going to do it for us today. We've got to get out of here. We will be back again next Sunday with more financial advice in a language you can understand. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.